I was about Thursday morning, Friday morning, about 4 o'clock in the morning or so, God woke me up. And God's very straightforward. He's very, I like to use the word candid, or he's very straightforward with me. I don't know how he speaks to you or how he directs his spirit towards you. You might want to turn me down just a little bit there. We're going to be in Matthew 27, verse 46, where we're going to start. But I'm a direct person. Most of my life, I've had coaches, I've had drill instructors, I've had my father. The best way to deal with me was to tell me directly what you wanted, and that's what, you know, you didn't have to, if you hinted around about it or you kind of suggested it, I always look for, well, maybe I don't have to do that, right? So there was a couple of years back, I don't know when it was, but I went to God and I talked to him. I said, God, I want to preach until I'm well into my 70s, and I want to preach with power and strength and conviction, and I want to do all this, Lord, and I want to, and I want to do it, and I want to do it for you. And the Lord come back, and this was a few years back, and he probably would still tell me something today, but he said, and I weighed about 315 pounds then, and God said, well, your longevity really has nothing to do with me right now. It has a lot to do with the way you're treating your body. I didn't mean to go there with us this morning. I'm just telling you. God said, if you'll take care of your end, I'll take care of your end. If you'll take care of your end, I'll take care of my end. And I said, all right, Lord, I can handle that. So I made some choices and decisions. Well, Thursday night, early Friday morning, God, you know, if I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I always think it's God. I know some of y'all are awesome and you wake up at 4 o'clock every morning like spring daisies, but oh well. That's just not who I am, you know. 6-7 o'clock's good with me. But anyway, I woke up and then I remember I said, Lord, what do you want something from me? And the next thing was, do you want anything from me? Oh, yeah, Lord, while we're making, you know, why it's 4 o'clock. Listen, I'm real at 4 o'clock. I ain't going to talk to him like, I talked to some of y'all at 4 o'clock. I'm like, all right, Lord, here's what it is. Man, I remember when I first got called to preach, Lord, I ran to the pulpit. I remember walking for hours. I remember reading. Every time I stopped and sat down for a second when somebody wasn't talking to me, I would read your word and I would pray over it. I was excited. I was fired. You know what? I said, Lord, I like a little bit of that zeal. I can sit down with you any day of the week, any time. We could stop right after church. Give me a piece of paper and a pen. I'll write you a 3-point message and a title for it. And it'll be all right, okay? I know more about preaching now than I ever did when I first started. But I was excited and hungry and wanted it and chased it and pursued it. And once you get to a comfortable place where you think you know, you kind of get lazy. So when I started asking God, I was like, God, I want that. I want this back. You know what he said? That has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with me, Kevin. It's you. That has nothing to do with me. And I wish God would kind of hint around and be sweet about it to me. But I guess his 4 o'clock is the same as my 4 o'clock. He's like, if you want that, you got to go after that. If you want more fire, if you want more excitement, if you want more zeal, if you want more passion, if you want more love, if you want more, seek me more. Come more. Get up more. Go after me more. The more, have you ever noticed the more you do with God, the more he is? But when we get to a place where God was like, oh, he's gonna do it. You know what? I believe God, he wants to do. He wants to work through you, so he won't leave you out there by yourself. But how much better would it be if we just kept seeking him? So guess what? That kind of lit a fire under me. So I said, all right, Lord, every time I stop this week, I'm just going to kind of concentrate on the word that you give me and concentrate on what you're doing. And you know what he said? Good. All right, here's a word for you. I wasn't prepared at 4 o'clock for the word to drop. I was like, you know how we are as kids. Some of y'all can remember when you're still a kid, right? Your parents say, well, if you'll do this and work hard and you can have this money and you can buy that, and you're like, yes, I'm ready tomorrow. Well, mow that yard tomorrow, wash that car tomorrow, I'll clean my room tomorrow. But if they said, hey, get up and go do it now, you go like, That's what God dropped this word. He said, I have been picking up people in salvation
ever since I was on the face of the earth in the form of Jesus Christ. That's how I work. I just save people. In a big crowd, I'll just save one. I'll just save two or three. When I'm passing by, I'll just save one or two. When I was on the cross, I just saved somebody. Amen. That's how Jesus, he showed it to me in a picture. It looked like a big wheel, and you like a big wheel with that was real sticky. I know God don't deal with you. You're so spiritual and strong. I get it. But it was like a big sticky wheel. Read Ezekiel. It'll make sense to you. It's a wheel inside of a wheel inside of a wheel. Yeah, all right. And he said, I just roll along, and every once in a while, somebody will stick to me. And I'll just stick to me. And sometimes it might be 10 or 20. It might be 30 or 40. But a lot of times it's just one and another one. And a lot of times it's not the ones you think it is. And I was sitting here last Sunday. I remember having such a big crowd here Sunday. And we were doing baptism and everything. And I was thinking to myself, man, I love seeing a big crowd at church. I believe we're going to see our church grow immensely in the next year. But I hope we don't grow as a church and heaven doesn't grow. Amen. I don't want to pastor a church where we got 500-600 people and only about 30 of them are going to heaven. Amen. I don't want everybody to be consumed with what we're doing at the church, but nobody's consumed with Christ. We've got to be consumed in Christ Jesus. If we're going to have a church, the engine of this has got to be Jesus. And if the engine is Christ, if the main thing is Jesus, if the main thing is this preaching Jesus Christ and lifting him up in this building, then everything else will flow from that really well. But if we supplant everything else and we don't have Jesus, we'll have a failure for a ministry. Amen? So Jesus said some things to me, and I'm going to give them to you the best I can. Let me tell you this. You're not here by accident. God told me to tell you this morning, if you're sitting in these seats, it's a divine plan. A divine. He scratched this time out in history, and he sat you in this seat this morning on purpose. I don't know if this is the last time you're going to hear from God, the first time you're going to hear from God, or somewhere in between, but somebody's sitting here, and I guess the word that I want to share with you is stop trying to be cool and stop trying to fit in and stop trying to do it your way. God wants more out of your life than you. Amen? Whew. Y'all ready? Let's go to Isaiah. I'm going to go to Isaiah 45:22. This is a very neat scripture for me, and we're going to go from here. The whole scripture from Genesis to Revelation is a pointing towards Calvary. The whole book is about Jesus being crucified for the sins of the world, our sins. Amen? Everything, from Revelations to Genesis, okay? Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Does anyone in here know who Charles Spurgeon is? Charles Hattieburg Spurgeon. Do y'all know who that is? He is called the Prince of Preachers. He started preaching when he was 16 years old. He was a pastor. He's wrote more devotional, more books, preached more sermons. He can take one part of the Bible and preach on it and expound on it that you never thought would be able to be preached. He preached about locusts one time that I read, and I thought, my God, he'd done a 30-minute sermon on locusts landing and taking off and compared it to the church. It was amazing. But guess what? Charles Spurgeon's got saved on this verse right here. This verse right here. That means one of the greatest preachers, ministers of all time could got saved on this simple verse. He said he was looking to be saved. He was looking. Jesus was dealing with him, and he was looking for a church on a winter snowy night. Couldn't find one. All the churches had been shut down, but there was a seminary close by. But all the seminary students had went home for the holiday, and they let the janitor preach. Praise God, I believe more people get saved when the janitor preaches over the seminary folk. Amen? But guess what? He preached this verse right here, look unto me and be ye saved. Listen, it doesn't take anything at all to look to Jesus. It don't take so much energy. It don't take much wisdom. It don't take much power, much strength, understanding. Some of y'all made this excuse up, God, I'm too bad, or I'm too good, I'm this, I'm that. Listen, the Bible says, just look unto me and be ye saved. And then at the end of this verse, it says, there's no other way you can be saved except by me. Amen. I remember reading in the Old Testament when God was taking the children of Israel out of Egypt. He said he brought them to a place where the enemy was over here and death was over here. Amen. Listen, we're in the same boat today. We're in that same exact boat today. We got the enemy over here and death over here, and there don't look like there's no way out. But God makes a way out. Amen? I don't know about you, but ain't you glad God makes a way out? God opened the Red Sea. God opened heaven for us. Amen? God opened up the Red Sea, which spelled death for the children of Israel, and he let them walk through something they should never. If y'all don't start kind of giving me response back, I'm going to preach all day long. Amen? So y'all just sit there with your smug faces, act like you got something else better to do, and praise God, I'm going to preach until your face turns blue. Amen? Watch this right here. He looked there and he said, guess what? He said, open up the Red Sea. Guess what? He made a way where there was no way. You can shout on that. The old Christians would shout that way because they would say there was no other way but Christ. Jesus opened up a portal for me to walk through. Jesus opened up a way for me to get through. I didn't have any other opportunity except for Christ. When you get between a rock and a hard place, when you get between the enemy and death, and all you can see is Jesus, you'll say, thank God I walked through what should have killed me. If you're sitting here saved, you walk through what should have killed you. Amen? The enemy had one plan, kill, steal, and destroy your life. But God said, I've got another plan. I've got life and life more abundantly for you. That's God's plan for you. He shook you out through your life. Sit there and goes, I got a plan for them. Yeah, they think they're going. They think they're under. The enemy thinks they're going under. But guess what? If they'll just look into me. Boy, if they'll just look. Some of y'all messed up and came to church this morning. Y'all are going to have to look bold-faced right at Jesus Christ. Amen? Some of y'all are going to have to take a hard look at you and a hard look at Jesus. Some of y'all came this morning, last night lust, last night drinking, last night cussing, last night fussing, last night murmuring and complaining and pride and sin. But guess what? You showed up in the house of God and God says, hey, I don't want you to get all cleaned up and come to me. I just want you to look at me. If you'll look at me, I save you. If you look at me, I change you. If you look to me, guess what? When you look at him, you got to turn to him. Amen? You just got to take a look at him. Amen? Is that right? You just take a little turn and a look. Amen? Turn means repentance. Somebody told me that this morning. Kind of stuck in my crawl. Amen? Yeah, I don't even know if people come with crawls, but I guess I do. Take your Bible. Go over to John chapter 3, verse 14. What are we looking at? What are we going to look at? If he says, look unto us, what are we going to look at? We are going to look to one thing and one thing only. We're looking to Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified for our sins. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 14, it says, and Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Whoo, glory. You know what he said? He said back in the wilderness days when the children were coming to the wilderness, they got cursed. They got bit by something that they couldn't fix. Guys, I hate to tell you this, everybody in this room has been bit by something you can't fix. Amen? I got bit by sin. And listen, sin bites you early. As you come out of the womb, you're bit. Amen? You're guilty. You're under the sin, the curse of sin, and you've been bit by the serpent. But guess what? God started working automatically. He started forming. He said, build me a brazen serpent and lift it up. All right? And when they lifted it up, all the children that had been bit, when they looked at it, they got healed of the bite. Amen? But Jesus said in the New Testament, that was only a type and shadow of what was going to happen for the whole world. We all been bit by sin, and guess what? The God's going to construct a man. He's going to make somebody, praise God, who's perfect and sinless. But guess what? When he's lifted up, he'll become sin that knew no sin. He'll become unrighteous where you can become righteous. Amen? And when I lift him up, if you'll look unto him, and when by faith you can be healed of your sin sickness where the devil bit you, where sin bit you, amen, you can be healed of it. Praise God. Aren't you glad of that? Oh, I can't help it. We're in the neighborhood. So look at your neighbor. Don't touch him because it's COVID. Just look at him and say, hey, since we're in the neighborhood. Oh, I'm sorry, y'all. Since we're in the neighborhood. Yeah, okay, good. They almost said it. Hey, since we're in the neighborhood, jump down a verse. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me tell you something. Has anybody in here ever got a good gift? Has anybody in here ever got a good gift? I'm talking about a good one. I'm talking about like Christmas morning, 1975 Underoo gift. Anybody get one of them? What I mean by that is you wore your underoos down there on Christmas morning about 7 o'clock. Your dad's half awake because he's been up all night putting stuff together probably with half the instructions. Somebody shout me down. Hey, your mama's over there drinking 3 quarts of coffee because she's trying to figure out the bills. How are we going to pay for the stuff that we bought? Back in 1975, you had to rearrange some stuff just to have crisp golly bum. I preach all day long on that right now. Kids get so many gifts now, Christmas ain't even special. Birthday ain't even special. Praise God, back in my day, when you got Christmas, you had a fit because that's the only gift you're getting. Some of you older folk, just shout me down every once in a while. praise God, going out to eat back when I was a kid. You didn't go to Outback. You didn't go to Steakhouse. You went to McDonald's. I'm preaching better than y'all are letting on this morning. Praise God. Here's a gift for you. Praise God. A good, good gift. If somebody gives you an extravagant gift or a great gift, you know they care about you. You know they love you, right? And some of y'all are sitting here going right now, right, I got all the gifts. I remember this. I remember that. Listen to this. Jesus gave you the most extravagant. God gave you the most extravagant gift. The Holy Spirit gave you the most extravagant gift you could ever get. Amen. He took the royal. I know y'all, this don't make sense to us, but he took the royal diadem. All right, let's see if I can get this. He went into Fort Knox of heaven. Does that make sense to you? He went down to the Fort Knox of heaven, where everything, all of our currency is based on what we have in Fort Knox. Our currency is based on how much is in the treasury. How much gold do we have? That's how much money we really have. Oh, praise God. Listen, that's how much money we really have. Amen? So we know what God said. God said, I'll go into heaven and bankrupt it for you. Some of y'all are sitting here right now going, I don't know if God really loves me. God gave up everything for you. For God so loved the world. You are a part of the world. You're part of the world. God died for you. You. And somebody, I love the old saying. I love it. I say it. If he only died for one, he died for me. Amen. If he'd only, he had done it just for one. But I hate to tell you, that fountain flows for everybody. I hate to tell you, there's more than one in here saved. Praise God. There's a couple of you in here. You ain't been here for a while. You should just show out right now. You've been saved. Praise God. The fountain flowed your way one day. I don't know when it was or how it was, but you got it. Praise God. You should say every once in a while, I'm glad God ruined heaven for me. I'm glad he bankrupt. I blame you. I'm glad that he cashed out and came and got me. Praise God. Ain't you glad that God never gave up on you? Is there anybody in here that you glad that God stopped? You pushed him off. You gave him the stiff arm. You told him not today. No way. I ain't coming. I mean, I'm about to preach myself happy. It was many times in my life I told God no. As many times when I ran from God. I was arrogant. I was prideful. I was everything in the book. But one day God said, I see fit to go by and get him again. I see fit to come by and break his heart again. I'm glad of that. Praise God. I'm glad that God didn't say, you know what? I've tried too many times. I've loved him too many times. I've shared this too many times. I'm glad the Holy Spirit came by August 28 of 04 and said, yeah, Kevin, you ain't worth it. You ain't done nothing, but praise God, I'm coming by anyway. Boy, I'm glad some of y'all got saved and you thought it was way past your time. Aren't you glad this morning? Aren't you glad that God didn't just pass on by and go get somebody else? Boy, I'm about to... I thought about this morning. I seen some of you coming in. I seen myself coming in. I thought, man, it's probably going to be pretty dry service. I'm glad God's moved in. Amen? Because it was dry for a moment, but praise God, now the water's here. If you ever go into Scripture, you'll find the devil loves dry places. He does. But God moves. You see, the first place the Holy Spirit's moved, he moved by way of the Holy Spirit over the water. Amen? If you'll ever let God come in and reign in your life, there's a whole message in that. I'll preach it some other day. Amen. Let's go over to John chapter 12. If he be lifted up, watch this right here. If he be lifted up, I'm seeing something in the Scriptures I never seen before in my life. John chapter 12, verse 32. And he says, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Amen. He said that right there. He said, if I be lifted up, the minute they pull me up on that cross, Then I'll draw men. You know what? They made the biggest mistake in crucifying Jesus. They should have tried to get rid of him some other way. They should have promoted him. They should have made him governor. They should have made him king. They should have made him president. They should have made him anything else, but they should have never crucified him. Because when they crucified him, the moment they lifted him up on that cross, what he was saying is to every lost person in the world, there is a way for you. God, some of y'all need to shout in here. There's a way for you. The moment, I'm serious, the moment they put the nails in his hands, the moment they pulled that cross back and they started setting him up in the sky, all of heaven bowed down. All of hell said, oh no. Every saint, every person that's ever been saved looks back to that day and says, oh my God, what a day. Thank you, Jesus, you were lifted up between heaven and earth. Ain't you amazing that God let himself be held and suspended by three nails right between heaven and earth for the whole world to see? And he said, I love you this much. I love you this much. He loves you that much this morning. That's God loving you. Hey, man, that's God loving you right there. I can't imagine. I don't know anything else I can tell you other than this. When you lift him up, he saves souls and he changes lives. You say, do you have record for that? Some of the best records I ever had of that is Matthew chapter 27. God is, this is where God says, here's where God is a sticky wheel. Hey, man. I've seen this in Mark before, but I've never seen it in Matthew. Matthew 27, verse 46. That's where we're going to start. Matthew 27, verse 46. They should have never lifted him up. They messed up when they lifted him up. There's going to be some people right here that we're going to identify with that I've never preached on and I've never seen the way I see it today. I always seen this person as singular, not a group of people, but it all right if it'd been just one. But in Matthew, it's a group. I'm going to show you. Watch. Verse 47. Some of them that stood there when they heard that, this man called for Elias, and straightway one of them ran, took a sponge, and filled it with vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see whatever Elias will come to save him. Now, right now, I'm gonna preach y'all some stuff that we don't preach enough. And then I'm going to give you the biggest point that I got, and I'm going to close. But I want to show you some stuff. Verse 50, and Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. That means he died. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. David just sung about that just a second ago. Listen to this. The veil of the temple, the holiest of holies. Nobody could go in there except the high priest could enter in, and he could offer sacrifice and offer that for us, and he could go in there alone. He converted for God. He was our conduit into heaven. But listen, Jesus did something at his death that is unexplainable. In the temple, he took that holiest of holies and he rent it from the top down. Now listen, I know everybody in here has heard that if you've been in church more than 30 years, but he rent it from the top down. And you know why he did that? Because guess what? If he had tore it from the ground up, they would have said, man made a way. But what he was saying, God, I hope y'all get this because I'm preaching this. He tore it from the top down because he said, God done this. And what he's saying is, you no longer, listen to this, you need to hear this. You no longer have to go through anybody to get a hold of me. And what that means to you, I want you to hear this. You have access to Jesus anytime you want it. You ain't got to get a hold of nobody. It's good if you do. But you ain't got to. Golly bum. You ain't gotta get your pastor, your deacons, your mama, your daddy, your grandmother. Praise God. All you gotta do is direct yourself to God. He said you can enter in as a high priest and speak to God direct. Golly bum. He did that at the cross. I don't even know if the ones that were guarding him and watching him and doing all the things, I don't even know if they recognized that, but somebody shouted out, hey, the temple's open, amen? Watch this right here. The temple was rent from twain to top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. You don't think that's crazy? Y'all don't know. Listen, they're just standing there, and it's a normal day, and all of a sudden, we get in this in other scriptures, the sun stops shining. That should be one thing to let you kind of give you a hint. But then the earth, I've got a feeling we keep talking. The world talks about the earth like it's Mother Earth or it's its own. But God said the whole earth groans for him. And listen, we got scripture for it. When the earth killed Jesus, the earth got upset. Oh, golly. I wish I could preach better than I can. I wish I could get it from here to here. But guess what? Have you ever seen a kid pitch a good tantrum? One when they know they can't yell or fuss, but they begin to shake. Praise God. You ever get mad enough you get the shakes? Praise God, you just tighten up and you just start shaking from the inside out. Guess what? The earth said you killed the one that created us and began to shake, and the rocks, instead of praising, just fell apart. They would have praised him, but you know what? They were so upset, they just tore apart. Rocks, I don't know where you live. I don't know what you do, but my rocks don't tear apart. My rocks just don't fall to pieces. Amen. Hey, just don't go right in the middle and fall side to side. Guess what? The earth was upset that God was being crucified. They were upset that everything that had spoken, listen, y'all better get this, everything that had spoken into existence didn't exist. Everything that started it had ended. I wish we'd get up and set as the earth and the rocks did about Jesus as we do everything else. We spend most of our time being upset about stuff. We ain't ever upset about sin. We ain't ever upset about our family lost and going to hell. We ain't upset about we're brokenness over our sin. We're upset over stuff that don't even matter. You get upset about Jesus and God will start fixing the stuff that you're upset about. Preacher, that's good preaching. And the rocks were in, and the graves were open. Now, nobody talks about that. Why? How do we get through this, Chris, in the scriptures, and nobody ever talks about this much? I mean, this has kind of been of a big deal to me. And the graves were opened up, and many of the bodies of the saints which slept and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to everybody. What? Why do we not talk about that more? I mean, why didn't anybody go, maybe we did something wrong? God, I believe that God put so much life in the ground that death couldn't handle it. I mean, all of a sudden, them saints, I bet it's been some people that loved Jesus and shouted and praised. I believe we got more shouters in the ground than we do in the house. I have people tell me all the time, you ought to heard so-and-so, sister so-and-so, and you ought to heard brother so-and-so. You ought to heard them, they had fire. What's wrong with us? Hey, man, didn't you learn anything from them? Wouldn't that be a shame if God had to shake the earth again to get sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so to come back down here just to shout for us? Man, I you know what? I bet they had the best church that time. I bet they had the best church they'd ever had, and every one of them come in there with dirt all over them. We come in, we look like $1 million, and we're ruined. Amen? They probably come in there looking like they just busted out of the grave. We need some people that just busted out of the grave. Hallelujah. Some of y'all ain't been saved that long. You should still be a little bit excited about it. Amen? Some of you, I've been here 5 years. Some of you, I ain't never heard the testimony. I ain't never heard how God got a hold of you. I said, well, Pastor, I didn't ever know you wanted to hear it. Why is it such a secret? Oh, I'm sorry. Boy, it got so quiet in here, y'all might be mad at me. And the graves opened up, and many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city. I said silly both times. Appeared unto many. Now when the centurion, listen, now read with me verse 54. Everybody look. This is where we're going to concentrate. Verse 54. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, okay, underline that word they. Now when the centurion, one, and they, group, they that were watching Jesus, the ones that were in charge of him all day, since the crucifixion started, amen? Saw the earthquake and those things that were done, and they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. They had a little band, they had a little group of men that were, they were dispatched upon Jesus when they brought him to the governor. They went wherever he went. They seen him. They heard him. They watched him. They put him up on a cross, and they heard everything that was said and done, and then they started seeing the evidence. Amen? Everything that everybody else seen. They're the most unholy, unrighteous people in the crowd. They've killed many of people. They've crucified many of people. They've hurt many of people. And they watched the whole thing. But at the very end of it, they did something they shouldn't have done as far as normal goes. They looked up and they seen a Jesus hanging from a cross. They looked at a lifted up Savior. And just like that sticky wheel, it doesn't matter who you think's going to get saved. It doesn't matter who you think God wants to save. It's the people who do get saved. Every one of these men looked at him. Now, I'm about to preach. Y'all about to hang on to your seatbelt right here. Because watch, all of a sudden, all the men that were rough, all the men that were tough, all the men who were wild, all the men who shouldn't have been saved, all of a sudden got together and started looking at everything and ultimately looking at a Savior who had been lifted up and said, surely, in front of all the religious people, all the apostles, all the disciples, all the Mary, Martha, everybody else, and said out loud of their mouth, they couldn't help it, surely, this is the Son of God. I don't know what y'all know, but we know something about crucifying people. This guy is supernatural. And he's already dead. They believe in a supernatural God that just took his last breath. And then I started thinking, hey, I'm going to start preaching right here. Let's all stand. Miss Betsy, if you come, I want you to sing Amazing Grace or play Amazing Grace. Everybody stand. I'm going to close right here because I'm going to kind of give you a picture of yourself and me. Because if I can't identify with anybody else in the Scripture, I can identify with these soldiers. I can. Earlier that day, they had to go with Jesus. In my life, I've had to go with Jesus. Amen? They were detailed to him. I'm preaching to y'all right here. Some of y'all feel like you've been on a detail for Jesus. You were told to. It's kind of like you have to. Some of y'all have been raised in church. You had to go. It was like a forced march. Amen? All right, your detail this week is we're going to crucify this Savior or theirs. You've got Jesus. You've got to watch over him. You've got to guard him. All right, boss. And they began to walk with him and listen to him and experience him because he's close. See, I got the kind of Jesus, and you better have the kind of Jesus, is the closer people get to you, the more they find out that you love Jesus and Jesus loves them. See, I love preaching, but praise God, if my messages only last as good as up here, but I'm a devil out there, it's going to show. Amen? I don't mind somebody riding with me. I don't mind somebody coming hanging out with me for a while. I don't mind that. Praise God. I'm gonna get to the fact that I love Jesus more than I love anything else. Amen? So guess what? When they got to walking with him, they kind of started recognizing this man. I don't know why they're crucifying him. He just seems like he's full of love and peace and grace and mercy. And I think it started eating on them then. But then they kind of mishandled it. Anybody in here ever kind of mishandled Jesus? Don't I'm just saying you just kind of made a mess of Jesus. I have. Before I got saved and sometimes after, I've made a mess of Jesus. I've used him the wrong way and manipulated and held him wrong and, used him as a weapon and used him as a scorecard and just did different things and didn't really understand him. Thought I knew him, but I didn't know him and he didn't know me. We've been there. Have you ever mocked him? See, these same guys, they took a purple robe and they put it on him and they put a crown of thorns on him and they played like they were worshiping. They were playing like they were worshiping him. Hey man, you ever played like you were worshiping? Golly, can I preach? I played like I was worshiping. I played church before. I think I got baptized 3 or 4 times before I ever got saved. I played. I played the game. I played around with it. I mocked it. I did like everybody else did. I knew when to stand, when to sit, and do all the whole 9 yards. And they even played a game right at the foot of the cross. They thought his jacket was pretty cool, so they cast lots for it. They played games right at the foot of the cross. Just a few minutes prior to that, they were still playing games. Some of y'all are going to play games right up to the moment you get saved. You don't really know who Jesus is. He's right above you. He died for you. He's been there for 2,000 years. You just don't know it. And they beat him. They put most of the wounds on him. That group right there, that group that recognized at the end, they put most of the wounds on him. Can I tell you this? You put most of the wounds on Jesus. He was bruised for your iniquities. He was chastised for your... Well, let me say it this way. He was beat unrecognizable. Every scar, every nail, every wound that he received at Calvary, he did it for you. He didn't do it. You did. You put it on him. Somebody said, what held Jesus to that cross? Your sins. My sins. Amen? We've mishandled Jesus. We've abused Jesus. We have. I know I have. We said things we shouldn't say and done things we shouldn't done. But somewhere in the midst of that, I believe they heard a word. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. Some of the last words Jesus spoke. And with everything going on, temple being rent, rocks falling apart, earth shaking, pierced him in the side and blood and water came out. I believe they all looked at him and said, oh my God, I see who he really is. They shouldn't have lifted him up. They shouldn't have. Because when you lift up Jesus Christ, you get to see who he really is. He's your Savior. He died for your sins and the sins of the world. And all of a sudden, a little group of soldiers, who done it? My God, who done it? All wrong. Who done it all? I'm preaching to some people who's done it all wrong. I've done it all wrong. Most of my life before I got saved, I've done it all wrong. But I've done one thing right. When I seen who he was, high and lifted up, I said, this must be the Son of God. Lord, forgive me of my sins and be the Lord of my life. I hope you got it right this morning. I hope you do. Because I believe God's going to give some people an opportunity this morning to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You didn't come this way by accident. You might have been raised in church, might have been in church your whole life, or you might have just walked in here because something lined up and you ended up here. I'm going to ask every head bowed and every eye closed. If God spoke to you this morning,